George Russell's first words upon seeing Mercedes' radical 2022 car design weren't exactly technical. Fuck, this looks fast. The sleek, side-pod-free machine resembled a stealth fighter more than a race car, and photographers scrambled to capture what seemed like the future of Formula One. But when technical director Mike Elliott watched it bounce violently down the track, a phenomenon called porpoising that their simulations had completely missed, he realized they'd just burned through nearly two seasons and $700 million chasing the wrong idea. Welcome to Formula One, where the most decisive battles happen in wind tunnels months before anyone crosses a finish line. This is a sport literally named after its rulebook, yet it spends more time rewriting those rules than any other competition on Earth. While soccer and baseball maintain consistent regulations across centuries, F1 fundamentally transforms itself every few years, creating a perpetual arms race where yesterday's innovation becomes today's obsolete technology. The real champions aren't just the drivers spraying champagne. They're the engineers hunting for loopholes that could be worth a year's advantage before rivals catch on. Colin Chapman understood a fundamental truth. Adding power makes you faster on straights, but subtracting weight makes you faster everywhere. From a borrowed London stable with 25 from his girlfriend, this former RAF pilot transformed Formula One from gentleman's hobby to rocket science. Chapman pioneered the mid-engine layout and monocoque construction, but his most revolutionary innovation came in the late 1970s with ground effects technology. Using sliding skirts to create a vacuum underneath, he produced machines that felt painted to the road, cornering forces so intense drivers' necks couldn't support their helmets. His relentless pursuit of performance carried a dark cost. Multiple drivers died in his cars, victims of designs prioritizing speed over safety. Chapman's legacy remains complicated, a brilliant engineer whose innovations changed motorsport forever, yet whose single-minded focus on winning sometimes ignored the human price. Enzo Ferrari launched his car company after World War II, creating the only team to race in every Formula One season since 1950. His timing was perfect. As Europe emerged from wartime gloom, Ferrari's bright red machines won races just as the world craved celebration. Racing victories financed more racing, attracting Italian aristocracy and Hollywood glamour. Enzo's audacious strategy: treat an American like a hick and you'll own him for life. Despite outrageous prices, blaming customers for defects, and impossible waiting lists, buyers kept returning. By the 1970s, Ferrari's Formula One program was failing. When Niki Lauda tested a Ferrari in 1973, he called it a disaster. Enzo gave him 1 week to improve lap times by a full second or be fired. With analytical precision and manager Luca di Montezemolo's discipline, Lauda delivered Ferrari's first driver's title in 11 years. After nearly dying at Nürburgring, he returned to race 42 days later, winning another championship in 1977, almost entirely out of spite. Bernie Ecclestone progressed from selling marked-up bakery goods at school to opening a luxury car showroom. After a crash ended his racing career, he purchased the Brabham team in 1972 for $100,000. His motorhome earned the nickname the Kremlin for its secretive negotiations. "Your problem is you always want things absolutely clear," he told a colleague, "and sometimes it's better if things are not clear." Bernie recognized F1 teams were undermining themselves by negotiating individually with circuits. He proposed forming a company to handle all negotiations for 8% of promoter fees. His ally was Max Mosley, an Oxford-educated barrister whose legal mind complemented Bernie's street-smart tactics. Their routine became legendary. Mosley engaged counterparts while Ecclestone showed deliberate disinterest, adjusting picture frames or scheduling flights close to meetings to force quick decisions. The 1981 Concorde Agreement gave Ecclestone control of broadcast rights, something nobody else valued. By the late 1980s, he negotiated country-by-country deals, dramatically increasing revenue. In his shrewdest move, Bernie convinced the FIA to trade its 30% stake in broadcast revenue for a flat fee starting at $5.6 million, leaving them oblivious to surrendering billions in future earnings. At the 1988 Monaco Grand Prix qualifying, Ayrton Senna demolished the field by 3 seconds, yet kept pushing. When ordered to the pits, he pleaded, "Please, let me. I want to do it. For me." His technique defied convention, violently yanking the wheel with rapid throttle bursts, constantly testing limits through super-fast inputs. With movie star looks and supernatural ability, Senna became F1's first global icon. Meanwhile, Frank Williams' team developed technology threatening to eclipse human skill. By 1991, Cambridge graduate Paddy Lowe created F1's first functional onboard computer, a 2-pound device gaining over a second per lap. The 1992 Williams FW14B featured computer-managed active suspension, semi-automatic gearbox, traction control, and data logging, the most complex race car F1 had seen. When Bernie Ecclestone watched Williams turn races into processions with drivers as mere passengers, he banned electronic driver aids for 1994, legislating out F1's last great technical leap. In 2017, Liberty Media acquired Formula One for billions, ending Bernie Ecclestone's 40-year reign. Their masterstroke? Commissioning a 10-part Netflix reality series. Though Ferrari and Mercedes declined, 8 teams granted unprecedented access. Producers discovered world champion trash talkers and prima donnas behind F1's corporate veneer, essentially the Real Housewives of Monte Carlo. Characters like foul-mouthed Haas team principal Gunther Steiner and charismatic Daniel Ricciardo became unexpected stars, with narratives built around mid-pack teams battling for ninth place. When Season 2 dropped in February 2020, just before lockdowns, millions discovered F1 through Netflix. The show expanded what it meant to be a fan. Some committed to hours of technical racing, others only caring about paddock drama. The 2021 season culminated in sport's most controversial finish, race director Michael Masi's decision to allow only 5-lapped cars between Hamilton and Verstappen to overtake set up a 1-lap shootout in Abu Dhabi. Verstappen, on fresher tires, easily passed Hamilton to claim the championship. The controversy drew 108.7 million viewers worldwide, proving that drama sells even better than speed. The 2023 Las Vegas Grand Prix embodied Liberty Media's $600 million vision. Paris Hilton, Shaquille O'Neal, Gordon Ramsay, Elvis impersonators, and caviar champagne packages overlooking the strip. Yet Max Verstappen, F1's 3-time champion, felt like a clown in a circus, calling it 99% entertainment, 1% racing. His frustration captured traditionalist fears. F1 had sacrificed its soul for American dollars and Netflix viewers. The sport now exists in perpetual tension, trading on European heritage while abandoning those roots, even pressuring Monaco to relinquish its special status. Formula One has transformed from niche European motorsport into a $20 billion global entertainment juggernaut, selling out American races with celebrities clamoring for paddock access. But can F1 balance racing authenticity with entertainment spectacle, or will it consume itself chasing viral moments? When George Russell's first reaction to revolutionary car design is simply, "Fuck, this looks fast," perhaps we have our answer. Speed still matters, but the show matters more.